This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hoping you're well.
Boker Tov. Yes, news this morning is that finally the remains of a Thai foreign worker, Suthi Sakrinthalak, have been returned to Israel. Yesterday when we spoke, we had this weird situation where certain remains had been returned, but we were pretty sure that it wasn't really a body. Anyway, all of that turned out to be a big red herring because the forensic investigation that Israel conducted into that particular return revealed that it had absolutely no connection at all to either of the two hostages who were at that stage still being held in Gaza. But yesterday, we understand that a casket with a body was returned. That has now been positively identified to belong to Suthi Sakrinthalak. He was a Thai foreign worker who had been working in Israel for about 6 years before the war broke out. He had previously been a fruit picker on the northern border, but only a few months, about 3 months before the war broke out, he transferred from Israel's northern border to Kibbutz Be'eri, where he was working on the October the 7th when the attack took place on the kibbutz. He was apparently killed pretty much right away. And then his body was taken to Gaza rather than him being taken alive into Gaza. And interestingly, he was one of 49 Thai workers who were killed in, sorry, not 49, 42 Thai workers who were killed during the war. And a memorial event took place on Kibbutz Be'eri a few months ago with the participation of embassies from a number of Asian Pacific countries in memory of those foreign workers who were killed during October the 7th and the war that ensued after that. There are something like 28,000 Thai workers actually living and working in Israel right now. And they are responsible, like Suthi Sak, for maintaining the economic well-being of their families abroad. And Suthi Sak's family had said that the money that he earned as an agricultural worker on Israel's northern border and then subsequent to that on Kibbutz Be'eri was the money that the family used in rural Thailand to survive on. And that's the way that this has been working for some time in Israel, where we receive these foreign workers who are willing to work in agriculture to help our agricultural economy. So, of course, we are very, very saddened that this has happened to them and those 42 people were killed in the war, because we feel somewhat responsible for their well-being as a host nation. They come and they work here, they give up a lot, they become part of our fabric and part of our families. They really entrench themselves into our society, and we feel responsible for their well-being. And of course, on this occasion, unfortunately, that was let down, but we are happy that we will finally be able to repatriate his body back to his family village in Thailand, where he will get the burial that he deserves. And we await the return home of our last hostage, Rangvili. So we hope that that will be resolved in the very, very near future, and that will then allow us to move on with a more open heart and some greater satisfaction to the next stage of the Gaza plan. We have just one more hostage to be brought home, and we look forward to that happening very soon.
Yeah, just so incredibly difficult for the families. The government officials from Israel and Lebanon have met in a direct meeting yesterday. That's now for the first time in more than 30 years. What came out of this meeting?
I think that this is a very significant moment. A meeting that took place in Nakura yesterday in Lebanon, involving what the Israeli press are describing as senior level talks. When we say senior level, we mean people authorized by the government, but not really senior level officials as such. I mean, senior level would be, I don't know, a member of the government or a member of the cabinet or something like that. That I would consider to be senior level. In this particular case, Israel's delegation was led by Uri Resnik, who is the deputy head of the Foreign Policy Division of Israel's National Security Council. So he's definitely not like a senior level, but he's somebody who clearly has authorization by the Israeli government, and he is part of the National Security Council setup. So that is an important moment. And equally on the Lebanese side, it was the delegation from Lebanon was led by Simon Karam, who is a former Lebanese ambassador to the United States, and he has been officially appointed by the Lebanese government to head their delegation. He's also quite a well-known opponent of Hezbollah, and I think that that's quite an interesting combination. And also at the meeting was the U.S. president's advisor on Lebanese affairs, Morgan Ortegas, who has really put her heart and soul into helping to try to push this along. I think the meeting, just the fact that it happened at all, is very significant. The last time I'm told that a Lebanese and Israeli delegation met directly was at the Madrid Middle East Peace Conference in 1991. That's how long it goes back for two neighbors to meet at government level. So, as I say, I think that yesterday is a very significant moment. What came out of yesterday's meeting is not a great deal, other than nice atmosphere. We'll definitely want to meet again. And this really apparently is mostly about trying to find economic cooperation between the two countries, which I think is always a nice and a good place to start, because it gives both countries some sort of an incentive, some sort of a reason why they wish to continue to do this, because economically we could all benefit. And we certainly look forward to the moment when Israelis will again be able to go to the Lebanese Riviera and to enjoy whatever Lebanon has to offer, because I think that Lebanon is an interesting country, and I think that we have many, many things in common. And one of the most important things in common right now, I think, is that the Lebanese government wishes to see the end of Hezbollah. And let's not forget that as part of the ceasefire agreement that was entered into with the US's assistance, it was agreed that Hezbollah would not be present in that area south of the Litani River on Israel's border. And more than that, that Hezbollah would be disarmed. Now, that has really not been achieved because of two reasons. Reason number one is that the Lebanese government still find it very, very difficult to assert themselves against Hezbollah in that area. They still somehow don't have sufficient power and authority to be able to achieve that. Maybe they don't have enough military strength or policing strength to be able to enforce that. But the second reason is that Iran continues to rearm Hezbollah at an alarming rate. Continues all the time to do whatever it can to rearm Hezbollah in that area. So where that's concerned, without Israel's cooperation, because Israel has continued to be active in trying to take care of the Hezbollah threat on Israel's northern border, if Israel is not active in helping to police that, then it won't happen. That is clear. And so I think that Israel's incentive is clearly to try to develop some economic cooperation with Lebanon, which is always welcome. But perhaps even more importantly than that, to somehow cooperate with the Lebanese government to get rid of Hezbollah. We know that the Lebanese government won't be able to do it on their own. And I think that they would welcome Israel's help in achieving that. If this can develop a little bit more and there can be greater cooperation to somehow get rid of Hezbollah, I think that that would be a great outcome. I'm feeling optimistic about this renewed relationship with Lebanon. I think we have a lot in common. I think we have a lot of reason why we do wish to be friendly with them and why we do wish to cooperate with them. I think that a relationship with Israel could bring massive economic benefit to Lebanon. They still have a big issue to deal with, and that is how they deal with the Hezbollah supporting element of their community, of their population. And so they have a certain split within Lebanon, but certainly the ruling government right now, which is mostly from the Christian side of the Lebanese fabric, are very much in favor of somehow getting rid of Hezbollah, or at least as a minimum, reducing their influence and their strength. And that's going to take a lot of work, and I'm sure the necessary cooperation from Israel to achieve that.
There were five IDF soldiers injured. That was in an attack near Rafah in Gaza yesterday. What happened?
Well, I mean, this is again, you know, obviously a transgression of the ceasefire arrangement, because, you know, we're supposed to have a ceasefire in Gaza right now, and there ought not to be attacks like this. But five IDF soldiers were hurt, one quite seriously, when terrorists emerged from tunnels in Rafah. And of course, this is inevitable, because we know that there are Hamas terrorists who are still holed up in those tunnels. And I expect that after having been caught there for so long and having been forced to come out because they really have no other choice, they're running out of supplies, they're not necessarily going to come out with their hands up, although some of them have actually done that. They've come out just quite peacefully and given themselves up, or surrendered, or been arrested. But many of them are coming out fighting. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. Some of them came out, they were tracked by the IDF, and they were eliminated when they tried to become a little bit more belligerent. But there was one individual in particular who somehow escaped the attention of the IDF. And he was the one who apparently had some sort of an explosive, which he used against soldiers from the Golani unit who were stationed in that area. And as a result of that, there were injuries. There was apparently an explosion. There was a gunfight between the individual and potentially some others as well who were with him, and the IDF soldiers who were stationed there. And as a result of that, the IDF carried out some airstrikes, and there was some artillery shelling in the area in order to respond to the situation. So that's not what the ceasefire had in mind. But I'm guessing that this is potentially a consequence of the strategy that the IDF have adopted with regard to those terrorists who were caught up in the tunnel, to attempt to smoke them out rather than to go in there and to try to attack them. They're just playing a long game, allowing them to run out of their supplies, allowing them to run out of patience, and forcing them to come out. And that's what we've seen happening over the last few days. So unfortunately, some of our soldiers were quite badly injured. Apparently, there was even an RPG that was fired, which was the main reason why some of them were so badly injured. But inevitably, these people will have to come out. These terrorists in the tunnels will have to come out, and we'll have to very much be on alert, because I'm expecting that there may well be some further attacks as the others come out as well. So I have little doubt that the IDF are tracking this. As I say, it is a contravention of the ceasefire, but inevitably they're going to come out fighting, and we should expect that to happen.
That is where we leave it. Thank you once again for an incredible week of Israel reporting. Anthony Reich, wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.